Auburn has upgraded so many different positions on offense. Will Peyton Thorne be the guy that can get it done with the new weapons around him? And that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. We got Auburn Daily Writer with us, as always, Andrew Stefaniak, bringing it in for us today. And we're diving, as we say, we're diving right into the deep end. We're going to jump right into it, Andrew. So I'm just going to ask you, and you cannot, the answer is not, it's, you're not allowed to say Cam Coleman here. What addition, it could be a player, a group of players, or position room, do you feel the most confident with that has been upgraded on offense that you think is going to mesh the best with Peyton Thorne to be bolstering toward his success?
I mean, you know, receivers on offense, really the only position that you could argue upgraded. I know they went and got the Rico Walker kid in the tight end room. And then the running backs haven't changed, same running backs. So, I mean, the receiver room as a whole has upgraded a ton. Obviously, yes, Cam Coleman's part of that. The guys that are going to be coming in here in a few weeks, months, whatever, Perry Thompson, the rest of those guys are a part of it. And then the recent transfer, Keandre Lambert-Smith from Penn State is a part of it. So, I mean, I think that Peyton Thorne, and that's what, I mean, that'll be our whole conversation today is, you know, can he be good enough? And I think that Hugh Freeze has done what he's needed to do when it comes to surrounding Peyton Thorne with everything he could potentially need to succeed. He has done that. It's now going to come down to, can Peyton Thorne do it? But I mean, he's going to have the weapons. I like Robert Lewis, obviously Cam Coleman. I like the new Penn State kid. You got Perry Thompson still coming in to show what he can do. He's got the weapons. Rivaldo Fairweather just got better through all this, thanks to the fact that there's going to be other targets that are going to draw attention. This offense has the weapons, especially with the running backs included as well. It's one of the best running back rooms in the SEC. With those weapons, this offense can be really good, especially with Hugh Freeze, you know, calling the shots. It's going to, and I hate to say it, it's all going to come down to Peyton Thorne. I mean, everything will fall on Peyton Thorne, good or bad. So it's going to be up to him.
Right, and I know it's so cliche to be like, well, is the quarterback the missing link? Is the quarterback the key to the offense? I mean, generally speaking, the answer there is yes. So I don't want to beat a cliche horse dead, but what I'm trying to get at here is will Peyton, because it's really, we can make an argument, we're going to kind of break this down group by group here, about how everything is better, or if it is, in quotes, the same as last year, the running back room, that was not the problem. Obviously, the biggest returning factor here is going to be Peyton Thorne. So then you kind of look at it and scratch your head and say, well, is he going to be able to do enough with what's around him to take the next step? Do we think he can take the next step, or can he just be about what he was, but with better, a little everything around him better? Is that enough to get Auburn, excuse me, not even a leap forward, but just a step forward to look better? So that's where I want to kind of get at here, and that's where I think it really is going to kind of all come down to him. Because I think at this point, if you are Peyton Thorne from the outside looking in, I don't know what excuses you have left to say if it doesn't go to how it needs to do. And I personally don't even have a super high bar for what we're looking for here. But what else is there to say of, oh, well, this wasn't good enough? We just have to look in the mirror and just be like, it was me, I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
I want to break everything down as far as position group, kind of like you said. And want to say what I think is going to be the biggest key factor here. You kind of tease the wide receivers. I think that's a big one. I'm going to go a little bit more abstract here and say coaching and scheme. It seems that Moore has kind of come out and people felt a little bit more brave to kind of say the truth of what was happening behind the curtains. I think there was a lot of problems going on with Phillip Montgomery across the board. Phillip Montgomery himself, how him and Hugh Freeze kind of butted heads, didn't mesh well together. It just the cultural avalanche that can cause. I'm hoping that having all of that a lot more streamlined, and obviously we're not going to know till we know, because typically around this time, I'm sure there were still issues with Phillip Montgomery, but no one would dare say anything now about it. And I say now relative to a year ago. So it's one of those things we probably can't really know till retrospectively, but I'm crossing my fingers and hoping that they're getting the staff how they like it, which should in turn make the offensive game planning, the play calling, the terminology, everything that they're doing on the sideline, the field. And I guess you've got helmet communicators now, which would be another factor that could possibly, I don't see how that could hurt, make this thing go better. Because if the communication and the understanding and the expectations is a lot more streamlined, I don't see how that doesn't help a guy like Peyton Thorne. And also, this will sound a little weird too. I think he may have possibly come into Auburn last season with his head a little bigger, thinking, I'm going to come here in the SEC. We've done it in the Big Ten. We're going to make things happen. And the Big Ten and the SEC are two of the best conferences in college football. So the step down from Big Ten to SEC, or step up, whatever you want to look at it as, not too much of different from your opponents and skill sets. So I this is in my opinion, last year may have been a little bit humbling for him in the sense of like, okay, this is going to be a bigger step. This is a bigger challenge than maybe he was sold and expected. Who really knows? But typically with anybody, when you have a 6-win season, I hope you come into the next year with a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. Be like, all right, we got to get to work. I'm not doing this again. For Peyton Thorne to have a 5-win, the 6-win season, both of those, we had a 10-win season. He's tasted success, and he's also tasted failure. I hope that that is enough for him to come with a vengeance this year. So you know what you need to start your day with a vengeance, Andrew?
A little coffee?
I think you need a little bit of coffee. Mm-hmm. And where I'm getting my coffee right here, and where everybody who's watching, listening should check out, do theirs. If you're coffee people, plainscoffee.com, use that promo code Auburn at checkout. You get 10%. You're not getting that like canned, sat on the shelf for who knows how long coffee. You're getting that like, this stuff was ground from beans like 24 hours ago or less and shipped straight to me coffee. The bomb. And it's not just like regular coffee, all different types of flavors of coffee, like more than you could even imagine. You can go to their website, check out all the awesome flavors they've got. Check out something new if you're a coffee person. And then if you don't like coffee, they do have teas as well. Plainscoffee.com. Thank them, as always, for being a sponsor of the show. So let's jump in here. You kind of tease it. I want to spend the least amount of time on this one, just kind of going around what's around, talking about what's around Peyton Thorne, running back room. I don't think we got to talk a lot about this, but Andrew, give us the very easy breakdown of this running back room and why we're not too worried about that being a effort for him.
Yeah, I mean, with Jarquez Hunter back, he's really good. Last year, I don't know if it was as much scheme. He was used well, but I think he could be used better. I think he could be used more, in all honesty. And I think you could – here's the deal. You know, you're on the field for more plays. You go, well, if Jarquez Hunter gets the ball more, we can't get the ball to Cam Coleman. Well, if you're getting more first downs, you're getting more plays. You're getting more yards. And, yes, there are more opportunities to get the football in the hands of Cam Coleman. But – Jarquez Hunter is going to have a really good season. I think he gets back to 1,000 yards. He would have gotten there last year had he not had to miss that first game, where you can assume he'd have, you know, had a buck 50 or something like that against a pretty bad football team. But I like Hunter a lot. I'm a huge Jeremiah Cobb guy. Jeremiah Cobb is – I'll tell you this. I think Jeremiah Cobb will end up being better than Jarquez Hunter. I think he's a really good football player. I'll be honest with you. I have a feeling that I'm going to end up being frustrated with his usage this year. I kind of got a feeling about that. And maybe some agree, some disagree. I think he's better than Damari Alston. I think he's better than Brian Batty. I think Jarquez Hunter's got him by a nose. You know,
hot take here. I think, obviously, Jarquez, so this goes without saying, but I think Cobb or Damari could all three start. Well, I mean, all two start because Jarquez is technically the starter.
Yeah, I just think – are you saying like at Auburn or at other places?
No, like let's just say at Auburn, but not over each other per se. But I meant like if Damari and Jarquez left, Cobb could be the starter. Vice versa with Damari.
Yes,
like,
I agree with that.
If they were respectively each the number one back, Auburn would not be sweating right now, assuming there was good depth in the room that they brought in. I feel pretty confident. I feel like you've got three starting caliber running backs in your running back room. Mm. I like Batty. I like how they use him as a change of pace guy. I hope if he does end up sticking around that he can do that. I believe this is, as we're recording, the last day the portal's open. I have not heard any word of his departure as we are recording. Obviously, if this drops later in the week and that's changed, that's just – it's the nature of how these things go. But we will talk about the roster, how it sits right now. I think they get at a good situation. The one thing I will say for the running back room that I hope they do see, which would directly benefit Peyton Thorne, is I would love to, and I think you got the best of this with Cobb, but I would like to see the backs a little bit better at catching the ball. Obviously, Jarquez kind of struggled with that at some times. Yeah. But you know, getting in the flats, wheel routes, whatever they're doing. Not only just getting the ball to the backs, but the backs catching the ball, especially when it hits them in the hands when they're wide open, and then being able to get down the field and get a couple yards.
I think Cobb is the best at that, in my opinion.
That touchdown pass he got. Oh man, what game was that? Maybe Ole Miss or something.
I remember it now. I forget who it was against, but I can see the play in my head. But I forget who it was against.
That day game. Yeah, he got that beautiful pass. So would love to just see that. I'm not saying that's got to be just the integral part of the running back room, but just to see that take a step up, I think that is probably the easiest point that I think that they could be a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So jumping on here to offensive line. I think the return of offensive line, as he kind of says, you know, younger guys, another year in the weight room, all the other things here. It is not talked about how big of a leap forward that offensive line took from 22 to 23. Yeah. I'm not saying they were world beaters last year, but my gosh, they were good enough to get the job done. And that is not something Auburn's been able to say for quite some time prior to that. And you hope with most of the guys returning that they're going to be able, and in the depth and all the other things, that they're probably going to be better. But even if they're about as good as they were last year, I think that's still plenty good enough to win you enough games. Yeah. So you hope that they still take a step forward. I don't know if there's much more to say about the offensive line, but this is it feels incredible to be here in the month of April/May and like not just sweating profusely about what the offensive line is going to look like at Auburn. Yeah. I mean, that's not been a feeling I've had in a really long time.
I think this offensive line is going to be good. I really like this Percy Lewis kid a lot. Mm-hmm. I really like this Percy Lewis kid. I think he'll be our best offensive lineman this year. On an offensive line that has Connor Liu, who I really, really like.
Yep.
I just like this Percy Lewis kid a ton. He's massive. He's strong. He's got good footwork. He's got good positioning. He's good doing everything you need to do playing the offensive line position. I think this offensive line is going to take a step forward, another step forward. And once again, we're not talking, I don't think, a Michigan offensive line. I mean, that's not the conversation we're having, but I do think this offensive line is going to be good enough to give Peyton Thorne a hand, you know, enough time in the pocket, and then to give the running backs holes. I think it's going to be good enough. I think if last year it was a 6 out of 10, I think this year it could be a 7 out of 10. I think it's be just a little bit better. And I think that's really going to help. I love the additions to the room. I love the development that's been going on there. I like this offensive line room a lot.
Yeah. And we get to talk about this. Thornton is a great coach. I mean, he's a recruiter, development, all that.
Nick Snows, yeah.
I mean, home run hit. So I feel very confident with the line under his coaching leadership. So good there. Tight ends, once again, you have everybody still back, plus some additions here. I mean, you're really going to be looking at your bell cows there being Vervalda Failweather. And I think what him and Jay Fair were tied for receptions last season. So he was one of the go-to guys. Yeah. And there's still even a little bit of – that's even fair, Marin, a little bit. There's still probably a lot of chatter that they probably still left a lot on the table for what he could do. So probably expecting another big year out of him. Because him coming back was huge. You got a guy kind of like Frazier that's kind of – hybrid between, you know, blocking and catching. He had some good little flashes last year. You got younger talent like Micah Riley that's still in the mix. And then you have, of course, Luke Deal, like king locker room guy that has been in this program for a really long time. Just, I've met Luke, really good guy. Great, great face of your program. Great leader. I know as a coach, you'd want to have a team full of guys with just obviously that kind of attitude and leadership. And I think Luke Deal is really good from there. Obviously, he's going to be more of a blocking back than a catching back. I don't think he had a single catch last year. But once again, not all tight ends are necessarily out there to do that.
Yeah.
Toward the end of the year, Luke Deal's blocking got a lot better than it was at the beginning. I'm not sure why that was. I mean, especially the Iron Bowl, there's times I'd grind my teeth. I'd be like, how are you getting run over by that little guy? The Iron Bowl against Alabama, and Alabama's no scrubs. I mean, Luke Deal which is playing grown man football out there. So hopefully that will continue with how they get to use them. It seems like they are going to be moving into using the tight ends more with what they're going to be running with the 12 personnel packages. So But once again, they added, they did not take anything away from that room. It's still a deep room. So they've got a lot of guys in there. Do you have anything else to add with tight end?
I mean, I just think it's the Rivaldo Fairweather show. You're going to have your guys blocking. And, you know, when I played football, I played offensive line. So I'm allowed to say this. No one cares about the blocking tight ends. It's not interesting. It's not flashy. We care about Rivaldo Fairweather. And while the blocking tight ends matter a ton when it comes to the running game working,
it's a thankless job.
Yes.
Thankless job.
There's no upside. You either are hated by universally, and if you do good, no one cares. Offensive line, life of an offensive lineman. And blocking tight end, you know. But so I can say that I did it. I was a part of that. I'm allowed to say that. But I think that when you look at this tight end room, I like this Rico Walker kid a lot. I think that he I believe he was a freshman last year at Maryland, and he was a somewhat, you know, legit dude out of high school. And he's a Rivaldo Fairweather-esque tight end. He's got that receiving upside. I think he could, while it's Fairweather this year, I think Rico Walker could learn and develop and be really good next season. So I like him, not this year, but in the future. But yeah, Rivaldo Fairweather's going to be really good. And these additions that they made in the not in the offseason, excuse me, yes, to the wide receiver room, yes, the additions they made in the offseason to the receiver room and the running backs you have, this is an actual, I mean, let me, do you think this is like the best offensive weapons Auburn's had in a long time? I mean, am I off on that?
I think, I don't want to build too hard too soon. I think there's going to be definitely some arguments to make. If nothing else, I don't think it's too soon to say this from a depth standpoint, especially wide receiver. I mean, the line, ironically, I think the quarterback room is probably toward the thinner side of what you're going to be looking at here, because you have Thorne, and then after that, you've got Holden, and you've got Walker White, who Holden's taken probably less than 10 snaps in college. Walker White is a true freshman, and I guess Hank Brown, you had what he did against Maryland, and that's really it. So you got a very young room, but from just experience standpoint, you got a lot of guys, strong line. Obviously, we already hit the running back room. Still a lot of good guys in the tight end room. And then what they have just done with the complete reset button, bringing in more guys from the wide receiver room. And obviously, some of these guys may end up announcing, since we are recording the final day of the portal, may announce transferring. So maybe there's a name we mentioned that is gone. We'll try to avoid that. But
I think pretty much everything that's happened is going to happen. I'd be really surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. But you know, just to cover our bases in case somebody's after receipts. Yeah. But the deal with, and you kind of tease it here, the elephant in the room here, the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
The most upgraded position on the offense, just top to bottom, overhauled, veteran talent, young guy talent. I think you got a good mix of guys that came back to Auburn. You got a great mix of high school talent, duh. You got some guys in the portal. So you didn't go too heavy on one part of the wide receiver room. I think what you got, three pretty highly, I guess, touted, fingers crossed. I mean, everybody hypes it up now. Transfers. you got your high school guys. I'm going to count my favorite player, the GOAT, Dylan Gentry, in that too. You know, star preferred walk-on.
Awesome. He's awesome.
And then, obviously, Jay Fair left. You hate to see him leave, but, I mean, which is how crowded this room was going to get. It made sense that Jay was probably going to want to go somewhere that he would be more featured. I think he's got the talent and the ability to do that. And for those like, no, oh, he doesn't, I'm like, okay, well, tell that to Lincoln Riley, who recruited him, because, you know, he ended up at USC, not Bowling Green. So people can say what they will there. The biggest one I'm hoping for, which, I mean, I know a lot of people are, and it seems like the workers in the spring. I mean, Camden Brown, obviously, he's been a guy that there's been hype and we don't see it. There's been hype and we don't see it. Now it's like, all right, he's doing the thing in the spring. He's stuck around. A lot of people think he could transfer. I mean, he's got the physical tools to be a beast of a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Really good guy. I mean, I've not heard a single bad thing about him. I've met him before. I will echo that, really good guy from personal experience. It would be really awesome just from that, like, heartstring, just, you know, oh, he loves Auburn, just feel good sort of see him have, like, a really big breakout year on top of everybody else. But what's the theme of the episode here? Peyton Thorne is the key.
Yeah.
So can Peyton Thorne get these guys the ball? I just, with how much depth and options there are at wide receiver with the new coaching, with everything else. It's kind of like all eyes on Peyton. It's like, you got stuff around you. You got proven stuff from last year, proven guys, proven coaches, systems, whatever you want to look at it as. The weak points have been upgraded. Let's get it, Peyton Thorne.
Yeah. I'm just telling, okay, I want to throw a thought out, and it's a very incredibly negative thought, but I want to
go for it. Love that.
I mean, super negative. I mean, it's going to like ruin some days, but we're going to have this conversation and be a good one. So historically, Auburn hasn't had a lot of receivers, you know, turn into success stories in the NFL. I mean, Darius Slayton, I'm trying to think my lifetime, you know, give me some more names. Successful NFL wide receivers from Auburn in my, I mean, I'm 23. So you got Darius Slayton, and he's sustained success. Give me some younger go. I can't think of any other names right now. I mean, you got any other names for me?
I mean, Courtney Taylor went to the NFL. I don't think, I mean, I think he ended up playing, if he ended up playing some, I don't think he did anything too great. He might end up going to Canada.
No. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, the answer is pretty much no.
Like, Obamanu and Arome Shadu, same kind of deal. Like,
yeah,
made some wrong. I mean, obviously, I really wish, you know, Seth had come back for another year. Schwartz got drafted on the speed, still didn't really get a whole lot popping that. So, yes, I'm making the long answer the short answer. In your lifetime, 20 so odd years, no, Auburn has not just had. I mean, Darvin Adams was a star in Canadian football.
Yeah,
like record setter in Canadian football, made a lot of money. So I'm never going to knock what he did, but.
Yeah.
Once again, in the NFL, I mean, Sammy Coates had all the tools.
He
had a good year too.
But yeah.
Didn't end up getting going. Duke Williams, I think, came down after playing some. I want to say he played some Canadian football, and I want to say he might have had a good year or two with the Bills.
For a while.
And you know, it's like, how much do you kind of count that, dude? That was like his exit was at Auburn. So, I'm beating the short answer to death. No.
Here's what I'm saying. And I just want to get you, and I'm playing super negative devil's advocate. I feel like every time I come on here, I seem like this awful Auburn fan. I'm super negative. I'm not. I just like to have – these are good conversations to have.
Yeah, have conversations.
So, historically, Auburn hasn't been a heavy less – I mean, NFL quarterback running backs, we can talk about success there, running backs-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Receiver, you can't. So, because, I mean, look at the history of it. Auburn likes to run the football. Just the reality of this program historically. Yeah. Hugh Freeze himself – has put receivers in the NFL.
Yes.
DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, Dante Moncrief. There's more names. I mean, tight end. You could go to the Bills guy, Dawson Knox. You can do this for a while. The Douglas kid with the Patriots he actually had at Liberty. So Cam Coleman is a first-round pick in the NFL draft. He came to Auburn as that.
Yeah.
Leave Auburn as that?
Oh, ooh, I like that.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lot of concerns because if Peyton Thorne isn't good, is Walker White going to end up being what we think he can be? I mean, I think you don't want to waste a first round pick in the NFL draft. And that's what Cam Coleman is. It's the eyeball test, man. People that watch football, Alex, you know, you watch football like I do. You know, this kid is a first round pick in the NFL draft.
There's not enough NIL money to keep you at a program that would keep you out of the first round if you have that talent. I'm just saying that right now.
Yeah. And Auburn, that's my concern. You walked into what I'm talking about.
Yeah. If you are a first round talent, you have the ability, the physicality, the athleticism, the God-given gifts, all the things, but you don't have the stuff around you to get you there. NIL is not going to make you stick around to even fall to the second or third round. Hey, if I'm a top half first round pick, I got to go to a program that can get me there. I love it here. Yes, I'm making a bunch of NIL money. The collective's hooking me up. But like the opportunity cost of that over like my career, sorry. And yeah, I mean, and as you said, Hugh Freeze has gotten guys there. So this isn't a concern of like, oh, can they do it? You know, it's just we got to see it. You've done it before. Yeah. Auburn's done it before. It's just we got to. Peanut butter's got to hit jelly, and we got to make a sandwich here.
And player, that was really good, actually.
Oh,
I'm going to save that one. That's going to stick in the brain. But, you know, I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's my concern about Cam Coleman. And I'm trying to play devil's advocate because it's a great conversation to have. But I'm worried that he's going to Peyton Thorne, let's say Peyton Thorne isn't good. And I'll be honest with you, I'm leaning toward he's going to be okay. I really am.
I think he's going to be okay. I don't think it's going to be a world beater. I think it's going to be like a – I'll always go to this analogy of like 09 a lot. So I sort of thought you hear that again. But kind of Chris Todd, where it was like – after 08, it was like, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to this. And then like 09, which was just – it felt so much better just because of what happened the year before. I mean, 2013 was a lot of the same way too. It was just like It was awesome. But like compared to 2012, it was like, you know, like awesomer. And it's a great situation that they're in from just an optic standpoint, because they have nowhere to go but up on the offense. And we'll just put it this way. If they don't, then Hugh Freeze is coaching for his job year three. And I'm not trying to say it from like an optimistic standpoint, but if Peyton Thorne gets 1600 less yards in passing again, and Auburn is like 12th through four, I guess in this case, 16th in the SEC, or like that bottom two or three in offense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how anybody, because that's probably going to mean you're like five or six wins again. I don't see how anybody can make the argument of like, oh, no, nah, we're totally good. Like, yeah. It would be, and there's no reason with what they have around them right now. I mean, even if they're middle of the pack in SEC and pretty much everything, 7-8 wins, I think everybody's feeling pretty good, because it's about the long play here, but you just have to step in that right direction. You can't spin your wheels or, God forbid, roll backwards. Mm-hmm. And there's just, to me, if that does happen, short of just there's like a bazillion injuries, I cannot see any excuse that we can't blame Gus. We're not blaming Harsin. We're not blaming this. We're not blaming that. There is no excuses anymore if that were to happen. I do not think it will happen, but at that point, there's something major going on to where I don't even know where to begin of what the cause is. And I can speculate because it doesn't matter. We're not even there yet. But once again, I feel like there's just too much good go around for something like that to happen. Like I said, short of injuries. If injuries happen, you know, you can't help that. It is what it is. Like, your whole offensive line sprains their ACLs. Like, okay, the offensive line wasn't good. We, you know, that's no one's fault. Just bad luck. Now, I do want to move to our next point, though, here, just so we don't run out of time. And I do want to get a quick little ad read for this. So you see in the bulletin over here, what is going on Auburn baseball? This will be a quick little segment to kind of end us out here. And I think this kind of coincides with the Rage Room segment as well. A little ad read here, because Auburn baseball has made me want to get a baseball bat and go to a Rage Room. The good news is I live in Birmingham, so there's a Rage Room right by me. If you live in Auburn, there's a Rage Room right by you. There's the Birmingham Rage Room and the Opelika Rage Room. Both can help you out. If Auburn baseball has brought you some frustration, that is a great place to go. Just think about those close games that they've just lost in the just meltdowniest of ways, and just, you know, smash some plates and bottles and just, you know, move on. Because guess what? They won one. They got one win over LSU. And, you know, as a good buddy of mine says, big Auburn baseball fan, you can't win 10 in a row. So you win one. So, hey, you know what? Nine more, and they got a 10-game winning streak. So, yeah, guys, if you're listening to the show, check out both those respective Auburn. I said Auburn. Opelika Rage Room and Birmingham Rage Room. Tell them the Auburn Daily Show sent you, and they'll get you some free stuff. So I want to thank them, as always, for being a great show sponsor. So, Andrew, you're a baseball guy. You played baseball your whole life. I'm passing the baton to you, and I'm going to ask you this one simple question.
Yeah.
It's written here on the screen.
Yeah.
What is going on with Auburn baseball?
They aren't good.
Okay.
And that's a short way to explain this conversation. And listen, before I get into they aren't good, I want to lay it out this way for you. This happens. You can put together a team. On paper, we thought this team was going to be really good. This stuff happens. Things happen, which we'll get into those things, that led to this team not being good. And that is what went down here. I mean, you swing and miss sometimes. Baseball analogy for a baseball conversation. You swing and miss sometimes, and Butch Thompson swung and missed this year. And that's going to happen. People are allowed to be upset. People are allowed to be frustrated. Listen, I love Auburn baseball. I get so much joy from Auburn baseball, and they're always good. They're always in the postseason. And now they aren't going to be. And that's not fun. That stinks. So the point here is this. You know, I will say relax. Yes, this year, put it away, put it to bed, done, over. I don't – that's it. You know what I mean? And that's okay. It's going to happen. next season, we're going to regroup. But when it comes to this year, first of all, Joseph Gonzalez has been really bad.
Which is crazy because of how he'd been years ago and the hype and all that other stuff. And I know he's battling with some injuries. And everybody thought, like, Gonzo, like, this was his year. He's coming in healthy. He's a veteran. He's, you know, it was just the stars were aligning. And?
So he's a sinker ball guy. And this is when I heard, you know, Lindsey Crosby, the GOAT, who covers Auburn baseball for us. You know, pitching's what I did. I pitched my whole life. I was a pitcher in college. And so I know pitching. I wasn't a sinker ball pitcher, but I obviously understand what it means to be one. And, you know, your movement is your weapon. It doesn't matter how hard you throw a sinker. It matters. The movement matters. Sometimes more velo, less movement on a sinker. And when I heard, I'll tell you this, and I didn't say this out loud because I'm not trying to be negative, but when I heard that, you know, I heard Lynch, and he's like, yeah, Gonzo's picked up whoever it was talking about this. He's picked up velocity on his sinker. I went, uh-oh, because it hurts the movement. That's what makes a sinker good is the movement. When I heard that he was throwing it a little bit harder, I went, I think this could go bad. And it went bad. And so that's part of it. Chase Alsup. No disrespect. I like Chase Alsup a lot. I've interviewed him a few times and I like him, but his fastball is a little bit flat, and it doesn't matter if you throw 110, if you throw 95, when you throw a flat fastball, Division I hitters are going to be able to hit it. It's pretty, and his fastball is just a little bit flat. And it's been like that for a while. It's just when you throw hard, if you throw flat, it doesn't matter when you throw it flat. And you struggle to hit spots.
And just what's been going on with all this is Auburn has had these meltdown lost games where they give up a ton of runs in a single inning, or they're up, and just at the very end. And I think kind of what you're saying here is a lot of this come down to pitching. Am I wrong on that?
Yes. No, it's been, I mean, I'm trying to have numbers. The baseball website is not easy to pull up numbers on your phone. Let me pull up. But I mean, Ike is hitting 330, I think. Let me tell you. Yeah, Ike's hitting 326. Cooper McMurray's hitting 329. I mean, he's been great.
And let's say Title IX has been a big issue with this too, because with baseball, you're giving guys 33% scholarships, and the way that how it works in Alabama, not having a lottery doesn't necessarily help this either. But when you comparative to other states, I know Mississippi has got a bigger advantage than Auburn does with this as far as the scholarship allotment, and then you get Title IX, all these other debates, not necessarily for this episode, but a lot of the NIL money that Auburn is getting these players is going to supplement scholarships. So it's actually a really easy sell to boosters of saying, like, hey, do you want to pay this guy to play sports? It's more of like, hey, do you want to pay for this person's education? It's just an easier sell with the people with the checkbook and like, okay, sure, here we go. Even though it's all still name, image, and likeness, you're just selling it in a package of like, yeah, you're going to, you know, they'll get this money for NIL deals, but they're using it toward their education. It just sounds better.
Yeah.
But it hurts in the fact that it's not money on top of what they're getting on their scholarship. So, like I said, conversation we're not going to necessarily have today, but, and you kind of said going back to this Happens deal and just the amount of talent that there's in baseball and evaluation, it is just unlike any other sport.
Yeah.
And it is really, really tough to get going at this level. Did you get your stats pulled up?
Yeah. No, yeah.
Okay. I was trying to ad-lib for you there.
No, yeah. So, I mean, I would just say, like, Bobby Pierce hasn't had a year. I thought he's hitting 224 right now. I mean, that's just ain't. And then you go, okay, well, he's hitting 224. Is he hitting homers? He only got five bombs. And you'd be hoping to see him at 11, 12 bombs right now in this part of the season. So, I mean, and the other guy, Christian Hall's hitting 232. Then you've got Cooper Weiss, 281, the transfer. Mason Maynard's a transfer, 289. Like I said, Ike Iris, 326. McMurray, 329. Your lineup's not bad.
Yeah.
Your pitching is the problem here. And it's funny because, you know, Butch Thompson's a pitching guy. John Armstrong's really good. He's really good. I love watching John Armstrong pitch. He's really good. And then after that, it's just like, You know, I mean, I think that we forget how good the staff was when we went to Omaha the year I went to Omaha to, you know, cover whatever they with Sonny, whatever year that was.
It was the year before last.
Yeah. So how good that staff was. Trace Bright and what was the one deal? Mason Barnett. You know, you forget how, and that was the year Gonzalez was good, right? Gonzalez was hurt last year.
He had a good year.
So,
and also too with Sonny, it's like you kind of hit in this, and you can probably elaborate this a little bit further. But with baseball, especially getting guys like from different levels, because where did Sonny play before he came?
Sanford.
Yeah, you kind of it's a little bit more of like a spin on the roulette wheel.
Yeah,
compared to like say pulling a guy up from mid major in basketball. I mean, it's just non-comparable, and obviously they got like. I'm not going to say lucky because I'm not going to try to discredit the evaluation on Sonny D, but like hit an absolute jackpot that his skill set translated and even really ascended at this level compared to some of the other guys you bring up. And sometimes that's not always the case. And you got a guy here with Sonny who's just like a just absolute slugger. What the kids say? He hits dingers, remember? Big Al? Yeah.
Big Al.
Sonny hit some dingers.
Yeah.
Big Al did he did a follow-up video. Did you see that?
I did not. He's in shape now. He's still playing ball.
Yeah, he's not Big Al anymore.
He's like Husky Al now.
He's normal.
Well built Al.
Yeah, he's normal size, like athletic Al.
Yeah,
which is kind of sad. I was hoping like when I see that, like man, I'd love to see this kid in 10 years, and he's just trotting out of the base like 295 pounds and just like just hitting 500 yards. That'd be really impressive. 500 foot balls into the parking lot, busting windshields, but. Anyway, all the same, hitting dingers is what you want. And Sonny D hit some dingers, and we need some guy. And this is going to be the most like, well, no Doug statement, but we need some guys that can hit some dingers.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting homers. I think Ike has 11. McMurray's hitting bombs. I'll tell you, and they've had a few games where the offense hasn't showed up, but pitching's the issue here. And I mean, they never would have expected what happened with Gonzalez. I'll tell you this. I think it's time to move on from Alsop. As much as I hate to say that, he's just not going to be in. You send him down to, I mean, if I'm him, dude, go play it like Troy. You will be awesome in a conference like that. Now, one thing I'll say about college baseball, there's the most parity in college baseball than any sport. I mean, I play like and I'm not even talking D1. I'm talking every level. I played at a junior college before I transferred to my 4-year school, and we beat a Division I school in an actual game. Like, there's parity in college baseball at all levels. That's why you see D3 kids transfer D1, and they're awesome. It happens all the time. And the issue, I don't think I don't think it's talent evaluation. I think it's they're relying on these pitchers. You got to go get some legitimate dudes in the transfer portal. Or like they've got that one kid, that Cam Tilly kid. He actually went to high school with one of my buddies in Indiana. Well, let me see what his ERA is. But I mean his ERA is 6.75 and 22 innings as a true freshman. Not a great number, but not like awful. You'd love to see that in the under 4. But I see bright spots with a lot of these pitchers. It's just the pitching staff's not good enough. I mean, I can sit here and beat the drum and explain why for an hour, but the pitching staff has to be better, and Butch Thompson has got to fix it because you can't stack years like this. A year like this is fine.
Yeah.
But you can't stack them. You got to go get pitchers.
I'm glad you said that. And that's going to kind of, close this out with the last topic here. And this is going to be very long, but there were some people that were kind of calling into doubt of Butch Thompson, and every good coach of any sport, any level, is you're going to have a down year.
Yes.
Great coaches bounce back from down years. And not only down years, but even like down moments, like Auburn basketball had a really good year, all things considered. They lost to Yale, had a down moment with a big stage. Well, Bruce Pearl's a great coach. He'll bounce back from that, no sweat. And they've already done great things. You've seen it across levels. And I mean, shoot, Auburn has been to Omaha twice now since Butch has been there.
Yeah.
I mean, when was the last time? Years. Yeah, I mean, before that, when's the last time like they stacked trips to Omaha? I can't even tell you.
Yeah.
I can't really tell you because I don't necessarily know off the top of my head. So I'm not trying to prove a point there. I generally don't know. But the point being is it hadn't been, I mean, it hadn't been enough to be memorable. I'll just say that. So can you look that up real quick while I go on this little rant? When, like, Auburn's trips to Omaha previously?
Let's see.
But there were people kind of calling Butch Thompson. And my question there is, like, are y'all just, like, frustrated with Butch? Are you saying he's not getting it done? Do y'all actually begin to question, like, fire him? Like, in what kind of world do you think that, like, Auburn's in a position to just go easily, like, pluck somebody better than Butch Thompson? It's crazy talk. Now, if we're having 4 out of 5 years that kind of go like this with one little sparkle year in the middle that was okay, then we might be having a different conversation.
Yeah, here, I got you, but, here on this.
Okay.
So they've been six times, well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 times, 67, 76. So a little bit of space, you know, some space there.
Some space.
And then here's the close ones, 94, 97. So there was a little, it was a little tight there. And then 19 and 22. So that's the six College World Series appearances.
Right. So actually, I think I went to a I might have even gone to a game that 97 season when I was like a kid. So I remember going to a lot of, my brother lived down in Auburn then. I used to go to a lot of baseball. So anyway, point being there, because I remember they're good back then. It's like a little kids. You always say, oh, they're good. But I was too young to like process like what good really meant. So moral of the story is like, definitely even in my childhood, teenage, adult lifetime, up until Butch, like that's just not happening. And if you were born in the 80s, that also wasn't happening. So like, this is big time. I mean, the floor for the program is raised huge here. And like, I don't think that can, I don't want to like take away any credit from Butch that he's owed, because he's owed so much credit for that. Despite, and this is another thing I said, I kind of teased it earlier, and this is like a rant I'm sure Lindsey Crosby could go on, but like, despite the inherent disadvantages Auburn baseball has at a lot of different factors compared to some other schools, and already mentioned the scholarship thing is one of those, like, he is able to do so much more with less, and that is absolutely massive.
Yeah.
So I'm Team Butch. I would not even begin to entertain a conversation like that unless we are years down the road and we're like, oh man, is Auburn going to make it to the SEC tournament? I know with with Texas and Oklahoma coming, the format of the SEC tournament is likely to change. I don't know. Has that been officially announced yet?
No, but Texas is really good at baseball, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, the thing I heard is they're probably going to take all the teams in and just have single elimination instead of the, you know, bottom two out and double elimination. Yeah. But you know, we'll see what they end up doing with that. But it's in Hoover, baseball tournament in Hoover Met. I love it. I've gone to that a few times, and it's very close to the house, so super convenient. But I don't know. There's something about it just feels special being there. It's like probably the most centrally located spot for like every SEC school. So
yeah,
you know, it just makes sense. Are you coming down for the tournament?
Well, I mean, doesn't sound like Auburn's going to be there, are they?
It's a very hard maybe. So I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know potentially any Kentucky coverage, but I guess
no,
it's not.
No. I'll tell you what. They're not, you don't know who could care less about baseball is Kentucky fans.
I mean, I figured unless they're, you know, there's some hoops out there and they're playing with the basketball, they may not necessarily.
Yeah.
May not necessarily care about that. But
yeah, Auburn fans are probably going to show up because Kentucky's there.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Arkansas now, like Cal's at Arkansas. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, that joke's not even funny anymore now because Cal's gone. But
still. Yeah, we'll find a way to get it in the cycling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I really had, unless you had anything you wanted to add. I'm anti-Butch Thompson slander, not going to happen.
Yeah, everybody, no Butch Thompson slander around me or Alex, because we will yell at you. I love Butch Thompson.
He's
a great baseball coach. He had a bad year. They're going to regroup next year, and if they don't, then we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, no, we feel good about it. Just as you said, it happens. And this is somebody that's played baseball, coming from somebody being Andrew, who's played baseball a lot, knows the sport far better than I do. So appreciate you taking the weight of this conversation. Because this wraps up today for the Auburn Daily Show. Auburn baseball, what's happening? We got some answers. Is Peyton Thorne going to be the missing link for this offense? I don't see how it's not really going to all fall on his shoulders. We've already discussed that. And hopefully Peyton can do more with what's around him, and we can have a pretty good year coming out of football. And of course, guys, thank you for listening already to the show. Check us out on YouTube, subscribe, wherever you listen to your podcast, like, subscribe, do all the things there, comment, review, all the things, helps out a ton. And of course, check out auburndaily.com to see what awesome stuff guys like Andrew and the rest of the awesome staff there are writing and giving you guys the best and just consistently churning out that Auburn content about really all things Auburn. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back at you again. I believe the next episode will be, for those watching, know what I'm doing, Top Button podcast with Charlie Five. I don't know if I could have made it through this episode had I done that, but like I said,
nobody should ever do that.
Yeah, Charlie Five's built different. He can do that Top Button. So he'll be dropping the goods at you guys when you tune in Thursday. Appreciate you guys listening.